Welcome to the Gadget Grill. You're listening to the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the web through radio2rdj.com.
Indeed. Hi there. I am the Professor. I'm Stumpy Steamboat Gez. Sitting to my left this evening is who the hell are you?
I don't know. Right. I don't know. I'm definitely not Jeff Quattromani.
Definitely not.
No, and also Jeff is still enjoying the Formula One in Melbourne.
He is partying down in Melbourne.
I am Jason Murray.
Yeah. Okay, and also not Jeff Quattromani, sitting in the captain's chair tonight, is none other than
Alex Horosh, and let's hope nothing catches fire.
Indeed.
You didn't bring that particular phone, did you?
No. It's been 6 months. We can stop with the Samsung jokes now.
Yes. We did have a few of them at the time. But yes, it has been 6 months since then.
And they've got a phone being announced.
They do. Very soon. Just over a week's time. It's getting announced this week, isn't it?
2 a.m. on Thursday morning, in case any of our avid listeners want to get up at 2 a.m. to...
I keep getting confused.
You know, of course, being the... enthusiastic
Gadget Grill listeners?
Gadget Grill journos that we are, the presenters that we are, being the enthusiastic, the conscientious presenters that we are, we should be up at 2 a.m. to listen to this so that we can tell our listeners on Sunday.
Why?
Or maybe we can just...
We already know everything. It's all leaked already.
Yeah,
we know everything about the phone.
Yeah.
But I'll be up at 2 a.m. anyway.
At the launch event, seriously, Samsung can just walk out and just go... You guys got it all, and just walk off.
Exactly.
That'll be a fun presentation.
And in fact, there was a leak today where someone had all of the specs, they must have gotten the manual or something, the hardware specs, the software specs, everything. The whole thing's out there.
Is that an S8 you got in your hand there, Jason?
It is an S7.
Oh, right.
How disappointing. Go home, Jason.
Just thought I'd
ask. You had one job.
Yeah, so, Jason, you've been slotting all weekend, I believe.
I've been making progress in The Legend of Zelda. You say slothing, I say Legend of Zelda. Potato,
let's call
potato.
The whole thing off, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've had a lazy weekend. It's going to be a busy week for me this week. So yeah.
And Alex, I believe you've been pulling some pork.
Yes, I spent 9 hours yesterday slow cooking pork. I didn't monitor it the entire time.
I would hope not.
This seems like a job for the Internet of Things. Monitor my pork.
Well, the pork doesn't even need that much monitoring, depending upon how you slow cook it.
Whether you have a smart oven.
How did you cook it? Oven, slow cooker,
oven.
Or a smoker? Oven.
I'm in an apartment. I can't smoke things.
Well, we're in an apartment. We have a smoker.
Do your neighbours love you or do they hate you?
Oh, they love us. They love us. We've got a smoker. And what we do on Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving holiday, we invite our American friends over and some family, and we have a Thanksgiving dinner. We have turkey and ham and all the trimmings, and we have a wonderful time. It's actually...
Who are the trimmings?
They live next door.
They're nice people.
Yeah. they're very nice people.
Jason,
they live next
I think
door.
We've got plans for Thanksgiving this year.
Well, Jason,
I have failed to turn up to Gary's Thanksgiving two years running.
Twice in a row, yeah. Yeah.
If I don't do it this year, I'm barred for life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, it's open to all and sundry who know where we live. Which is not a lot, but...
That is not a challenge.
But it is a great time, and basically you walk in and roll out, because there is an absolute over sufficiency of food.
Oh, so it's not a Transformers hookup. Okay.
No, no.
Walk in, roll out, yeah.
Yes.
And on that note, should we go to a song?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So, Gary's made a mistake of letting me pick the music tonight.
I have indeed.
So we're going to start with an Australian band, Gentle Ben and His Sensitive Side. And this is the beginning of the end.
Excellent. Welcome back to the Gadget Drill here on to RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. It is time for the news. Do you want to lead off?
Sure. The leaky ship that has been the Samsung Galaxy S8.
Right.
This week got
understatement.
Yeah.
this has it sunk yet?
No. Hopefully, it's not going to sink
until you plug it into your computer,
and then it'll catch.
Yeah. Very nice. Yes. So Samsung actually did make an official announcement this week about their new voice assistant called Bixby, and they've said that Bixby is going to be an intelligent interface that will get out of the way and not
danger,
require...
Will Robinson, danger.
They said intelligent, not smart.
Same thing.
It will get out of the way and not require a user to learn a new way of doing things. So they want to use AI to help Bixby learn from you how you would like to issue its voice commands. And they're offering up an SDK so that developers can actually integrate...
They will eventually.
Bixby, yeah, into their app. When it gets released, you know.
No, I mean, at launch, there'll only be 10 Bixby-enabled apps.
Yeah. So they'll be the apps that are built into the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not even every Samsung app's going to be Bixby-enabled to start with.
It'll be too much. But so they're saying that when an app does become Bixby-enabled, they're intending to have it completely enabled. So every function of the app should be available. And it will be context-aware. And like I said, you won't need to get the commands exactly right.
Yeah, the idea is that essentially anything you can do with a touchscreen, Bixby will be able to do for you via voice. So hopefully, you know, you can be looking at a photo and you've got your photo app up and you're looking at a photo. It's like, hey, Bixby, send this photo to Gary.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I don't want it.
Thanks, Gary.
Anytime.
Good example. But yes. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how this plays out in terms of the voice assistant wars with Google having their own. I wonder if Samsung's going to block the Google Assistant making its way onto the S8, or if they'll coexist. How many assistants does your phone need?
If they block Google Assistant, or even Canva?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Then they probably lose their access to Google Play.
Well, we'll see.
Yes.
It depends on the contract that they've signed for it.
Yes.
So Google is rolling out Google Assistant to other phones at the moment as well.
Okay, I've got a couple of self-driving vehicle stories.
All right.
First one is Adelaide Airport and one of the unis in South Australia. They're going to be implementing driverless shuttles around the airport.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that you'll be able to get your car or get a lift from the terminal to the parking lot in a driverless vehicle. And that's, I think, is an excellent use.
Is it a supervisor vehicle?
It doesn't say.
It would have to be initially, based on Australian law.
Yes.
But...
So there has to be someone who's capable of taking control of it, but yeah. that person might just be sitting there playing Zelda Flinders, on their Switch the whole time.
Yeah, Flinders University and Adelaide Airport. And they got $10 million set aside for this.
Wow.
So when is it starting?
When does it start? They don't say.
I wonder if
But it's a five-year project.
I wonder if I can just sort of like rock up and just go, oh, I need to get to my car and take a ride.
And
I forgot where my car is. Oh, yeah. No, I forgot. I didn't actually drive to the airport, go back and take me to the train. I just want a free ride.
Seeing
and
you don't have
car.
A driving license, Jason.
I just want a free ride in a driverless car.
Right. The second self-driving vehicle story that I have is not quite as positive. A vehicle in Tempe in Arizona on Friday, a vehicle failed to yield to a self-driving Uber vehicle, and the two collided. The Uber had a passenger and a person behind the wheel inside, and it rolled onto its side.
Oh, wow. That's actually a far more serious collision than it sounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful.
No reported injuries in the crash, but this was the fault of the driver in the other vehicle.
I guess that's the problem with self-driving cars. how do you predict the unpredictable? Because humans are terrible drivers. Like, well, how exactly. how do you account for that in your programming?
Exactly.
The only way to do it is to make sure that every car on the road is a self-driving car.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, running the same.
Well, the worrisome part about all this is they've got a photo here of the vehicles involved, and the Uber vehicle was a Volvo.
Bloody Volvo self-drivers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Alex.
So there was a lot of Apple news this week.
There was,
coming out of Cupertino. So firstly, there's a red iPhone that fights AIDS. Specifically...
Stick him up. Go on. Puts it up for a fight.
Oh.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, no, it's in conjunction with the charity Project Red.
Apple's cooperated with them a lot over the years. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's not a big surprise, but it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really nice. Mm. It's white and red, and I really want one. But at the same time, the iPhone 8 is coming in 6 months, so it's kind of like... But there's also good news if you want a cheaper iPhone, because the iPhone SE, Apple's 4-inch throwback to the iPhone 5S, now... starts with 32 gigabytes of storage and comes in a 128 gigabyte model.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and they're both the same price that they were when it was still 16 and 64. Hmm. So they've doubled the storage, kept it at the same price. Nothing else has changed, but it's still an iPhone 6S with better battery.
Yeah, very nice. The SE is always quite a welcome addition into the product line.
So yes.
Well, it's the best value iPhone. You know, it's still...
Damning with faint praise there, Alex.
Now.
And there's also a new iPad that's just called iPad, much like the first iPad. So it's
everything old is new again.
So is the new iPad sort of along the same lines as the iPad Air last couple of years?
It's replacing the iPad Air. It's just called iPad now, though.
So it's as thin as the iPad Air was?
Yeah, it's essentially the iPad Air 3, but it's not called iPad Air 3. So Apple's new iPad product line is iPad Pro, and then the 12.9-inch iPad Pro.
Cool. I think that's good, because the iPad product naming had got a little bit out of control over the last few years, and very unlike Apple, really.
And they're still keeping the iPad Mini 4, but it only starts at 64. I think it starts at 64 or 128, so it's actually more expensive than the base iPad. iPad.
But you got more storage.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's... Oh, and Apple's also launching some weird new social media app called Clip. That's essentially more... It actually looks kind of fun.
Well, wasn't it?
You should drop over sometime, Cliff.
Clip. So actually, when I saw that mentioned, I thought it was the addition of a feature into their messaging apps, or is it a new messenger app?
Oh, it's a standalone app for doing kind of Snapchat-style images that you can then share through other apps.
Cool. Oh, okay. Oh, right. So it produces the animation or the clips, and then you can share them through other things.
The interesting thing about it, though, is apparently it can actually transcribe your voice.
Ooh.
So you can get little subtitles for your videos that you make for it.
Oh, so So rather than like you actually specifically speaking to a system for it, it'll actually do it for you.
Yeah, apparently it would transcribe video. So
let's throw the podcast into it and see what we get.
That would be very interesting to see how good it is.
Yeah,
The transcription services that I've seen, unless they have real people sitting there, they don't work all that well in my experience.
Well, it's designed for 10-second videos, so you're not saying too much.
Right.
I don't know. I can get a lot out in 10 seconds.
I know. We've been meaning to talk to you about that, Jason.
I know. Yes. So, I'm not going to try for 10 seconds for this one. Android O has made it out as a preview release for developers this week, with a further launch coming at Google I/O in May, and I think it's interesting. There's a lot of crossover between iOS and Android, and there's a lot of cross-pollination of features over time. So
that's a polite way to say copying.
Yeah. I mean,
plagiarism.
So I generally, I'm regarding you as the iPhone person in the studio tonight. You know, you guys got your pull-down notification shade, and you got your actionable notifications. This year, we're getting badges on our home screen.
How exciting.
We're getting background limits on apps, which is kind of funny.
That's actually great.
Every time I see a feature like that added onto Android, I'm just sort of like, they should probably send a note to Apple and just go, yeah, you guys were kind of right with that. They're also adding an autofill API, which I think made it into iOS last year.
Okay, but so tell me, what is limiting the background activity going to do? Or at least tell our listeners.
So the idea with limiting your background activity is that it's going to save your battery because your app won't be able to do as much in the background as they currently can.
And have they said what they're cracking down on?
Not sure.
It seems like a bit like quite a lot on location data, which is
I kind of don't see location data being that much of a battery saving. But
especially JP, you play Ingress.
I've always got Ingress open, so like it's not going to save anything for me.
No,
but that's okay. There's a few other neat features. You can have snooze notifications and make them come back after a particular time. And there's going to be some improvements to the ambient display functionality. And Google is getting more serious
about
Bluetooth.
The snooze functionality is interesting because there's a lot of notifications that persist even after you dismiss them. So implementing that feature is actually just allowing a bug to continue.
Not sure that's actually how they've implemented it, but yeah, okay. And they've redesigned the Settings app again, but that only really matters for Pixel phones because everyone else redesigns the Settings apps themselves.
And we'll expect to see it actually on phones starting from August or September, at least for people who have a Google-made phone. Yeah. Everyone else, good luck.
Do you think that it's kind of Google tweaking Samsung's nose, launching a new version of Android just before they launch their new phone?
They did this last year too, didn't they?
They have. They do it every year, like launching the new version of Android at I.O., but the last 2 years they've brought out the preview release just as Samsung's launching a phone. And it's like, you're never going to see this version of Android on your phone for another year.
Pretty much.
Mm.
Good on you, Samsung.
Okay. In the last week, America announced a new ban. A new travel ban. This time for people flying from a number of ports in Africa and around the Arab area, down there in the Middle East. And you are not allowed to fly. You're not allowed to bring your tablet or your laptop computer into the cabin.
Which is really dumb, because if...
Go on.
It seems like there's a much bigger risk of your laptop catching fire while it's in cargo, and like if something pierces the battery and starts leaking. And
absolutely.
And you know that if it gets damaged by the baggage handlers, they're never going to pay to fix it.
No. So basically what you're saying is don't bring these devices.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting because a lot of people have been saying for a while that they're not going to bring them into the country in the States anyway because they keep getting them subjected to searches.
Yeah, well, the other side of that is, of course, England has announced the same ban for people flying into England from the same ports.
And Dubai as well.
And Dubai as well, yeah.
Actually, no, Dubai is exempt from the UK one, which makes it... So, for Australians flying to the UK, going through Dubai, you can still take your laptop and tablet onto your phone, or your Nintendo Switch, or...
Yes, because the Nintendo Switch is larger than the maximum device, isn't it?
Interestingly, the maximum device actually makes some smartphones, rules some smartphones out, such as the Oppo R9 S Plus, which I'm using right now. It's slightly too big. The HTC U Ultra, which I was using earlier, slightly too big.
It's kind of a quagmire, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. So it's like, how strict are they going to be? Are they going to get the measuring tape out onto your phone? It's like, oh, sorry, it's a millimeter too big.
I did see a story this week about that, and the person who wrote the article asked almost exactly that question, except this person referred to, rather than a measuring tape, which is a correct tool for this person referred to a slide rule. And as you know, a slide rule is actually a form of calculator, not a measuring device. So,
well, I assume they mean something that they can put it into and then just like slam the sliding part onto it and then get the exact measurement without having to line it up and make sure.
Well, you could have some sort of a template like the cricket umpires use for the
absolutely
for cricket balls to see if they're properly round and the right size.
Here's a question about this: do you think this might actually prompt a few smartphone manufacturers to start going small again?
I think so.
Well, LG's new phone, which is coming out on Tuesday, it's 5.7-inch screen, but slightly bigger than an iPhone 7. So that's kind of...
you're saying this LG's new phone as if, like, we don't know what it is.
The G6.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we played with it at Mobile World Congress. Yeah, so, yeah.
We did. I'm just saying.
Is it over the size allowed?
No, it's not. No?
Oh, so it's,
it's a big screen in a small package. And that's the rumor. Well, that's what we know Samsung is doing too.
Yeah.
So we're getting bigger screens in smaller sizes.
I guess what I'm thinking about is, you know, like the S8, that we're assuming that there's going to be an S8 Plus, which is a larger.
We know there's going to be an S8 Plus.
We're assuming. So is that too big?
No, because it's the size of the S7 Edge.
Okay. But the Galaxy Mega, definitely out.
Yes. In other aviation news, Qantas was meant to launch its in-flight Wi-Fi tomorrow.
Yeah, awkward.
But they're not. It's been pushed back because of, what were you saying, Jess, stability issues?
The official phrase, thanks to...
David Flynn?
Oz Business Traveller, was stability issues. Apparently... Well, they were going to take a bit of a different route. They were going to take some journalists on a flight, I think tomorrow, whichever. they were going to take some journalists on a flight tomorrow that would take them down the eastern coast of Australia, which is not the usual way that you fly Sydney to Melbourne, but they were going to, I think they were just going to sort of take them down the coast and then fly them back up and demonstrate their super fast, hey?
Scenic.
Scenic. You can... So I guess you get to see the coastline. Yes. But they're not going to do that anymore because they've decided that their satellite internet, which is powered by the NBN's satellite internet network.
And Viasat as well.
I thought Viasat was going to be the international.
I'm not sure. It might be.
Maybe.
What you're saying is that don't work.
It's not working. Yeah.
Right.
It's not working. Bit unfortunate. But Qantas does say that they are still on target for their
first half of the year.
Yeah.
And... interestingly, in previous tests, they've actually gone pretty decent speeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, around 4 megabits per second, which is
what's happening.
Still fast enough to stream high-definition video. Mm-hmm. Although, funnily enough, Stan this week announced offline downloading, so almost every major streaming service in Australia, Foxtel Play being the exception because it's Foxtel Play.
I don't know. Most of the TV networks' catch-up services don't do downloads,
either. They're not a streaming service. That's catch-up.
Well, catch-up streams. So
You're paying for Foxtel Play. You're not paying for iView.
Yes.
So the subscription ones, yeah.
Yes. Now now lets you download to the app for offline viewing. You really don't
good addition from Stan. Apparently, that's actually been in hands of some journalists for quite a while, and they've been testing it out and saying that the functionality has been really good, really rock solid.
Yeah, no, I tried it out the other day, and... Mm-hmm. Downloaded The Hateful Eight. I haven't watched it yet, but downloaded quickly. It's sitting on my phone.
I want to watch that.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Good job.
Okay. Last story from me tonight. Intel have got a new style of computer memory that they're bringing to the market soon. And this is, they say, going to fundamentally change the way the world builds computers.
Or at least their memory.
It's called 3D XPoint, and it can be used as memory. It can be used as storage. It's quite remarkable, and it's expected that it may actually change how computers work. It looks... very, very interesting. Redefining gaming machines and other personal computers.
So would you expect a PC running this memory to perhaps, I don't know, load Windows into, say, its storage, its memory partition, so that it runs faster?
Oh, one would hope so.
Hmm. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yes.
But yeah.
You're a Mac user anyway.
I'm a Mac user, but like I use PCs.
Well, the reason Windows computers perform so slowly is because they had OS X as its target.
That's just a joke, kidding.
Yeah, that you did say on the Facebook page that we have terrible jokes, so we are living up to the.
We're
living the dream.
Yeah, yes, we have a Facebook page now.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, you can like us on Facebook.
Please like it.
We have £5 right now. We need more.
Most of them are us. I've got one more news story. Baselworld, which does sound like it's a Fawlty Towers convention, but
Herb convention.
Is actually, yes. It is actually the gathering for the watch industry, the annual gathering happening near Basel in Switzerland.
Basel.
Basel World, then. Basel.
Yes.
Thanks for the late correction on that. Like, anytime,
Jason.
Sure. So Android Wear has hit Basil World in a fairly big way this year. Well, now, we talked about Tag's new watch last week, but this week we've got very, very basic information about watches coming out from Fossil, Hugo Boss, Misfit, Michael Kors, and Casio. And so they're all bringing out Android Wear 2.0 watches, and disappointingly, most of them seem to be missing NFC, which is important if you want to do Android Pay. So we're still waiting. We're still waiting for a perfect Apple Watch.
I like paying with my Apple Watch. It's fun. And
so
I already paid for it.
Yeah. So I don't personally find the lack of NFC a big deal. Some of these watches look really nice. I really want to take them out for a spin. My bank doesn't support Android Pay anyway, so yeah, big deal.
Cool. Well,
so yeah, we're going to see these watches are all super expensive.
When we go and plant some basil.
Yeah, we're going to do some gardening and some Android
too expensive.
Watches.
At least I was looking at
like $450 US and above,
which I guess is
pretty pricey.
Oh, it is pricey, but it's about what you'd expect for a top end smartwatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a $20,000 Rolex.
So it is, but like I have trouble with paying this much for a designer smartwatch when I know there's going to be another model next year that they're going to want me to pay as well.
It's an interesting profit center for them because they're now finding ways to get people to pay $450 for a new watch every year and a half, two years, whereas previously when you bought a designer watch,
you'd buy for life.
When you buy a Rolex, how many Rolexes do you typically buy?
Zero for me.
Yeah, but you would buy one, and that would do you pretty much for life.
You buy it for life.
I do think it's interesting. So Tag offers the trade up. Once your watch has reached the end of its presumably useful life, they think is about 2 years.
Give us another $2,000, and
we'll give you a real watch to wear instead. Yeah. So I think that's kind of a funny upgrade scheme, but like most of these watches that we're talking about are going to be significantly cheaper than that. But I still find, I still find that the $450 plus US price just a little bit tougher to swallow.
Yes,
yeah. The Hugo Boss one does look quite nice though.
Some of them do as well. I really like the look of the Misfit, but yeah.
Anyway, let's go to a song.
Let's do that.
So, have you guys heard of a Polish black metal band called Behemoth?
I think we're about to.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
Their frontman, who's actually has now got a country project.
What?
Yeah, so he's gone from playing satanic black metal to
satanic country.
Yeah, this one
isn't that all country music.
You're going to play this one backwards, Alex?
I haven't worked out how to do that on this program
yet. I'm not sure
if
there's a button on that.
No, you can play it backwards, and when you play country music backwards, your wife comes back, you get your dog back, your car starts.
Anyway, this is Love and Death by Me and That Man.
Okay.
You're back with The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 FM. Oh, we faded down nicely there. 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Now, Alex, you went to look at some funky new LG TVs this week.
I did, and funky is an understatement.
It probably is. I haven't seen them, but would you like to tell us about them?
I would. So the flagship model, the Signature OLED W, is 4 millimeters thick.
That's pretty amazing. I saw a photo where you basically can't see the TV
from the side on. Like the actual panel itself is 2 millimeters, and then the wall mounting frame is another 2 millimeters, and you magnetically attach it to the frame, and it's, yeah, if you're looking at it side on, it just kind of blends into the wall. It's amazing. And obviously, it still has inputs, but they've been relegated to a soundbar.
So, we talked a little bit about Samsung's TV last week. We talked about them last year as well. So, I thought it was interesting seeing the difference in what Samsung's done to make their cable inconspicuous and disappear versus LG, where they've got... Samsung's got an optical fiber cable, whereas LG's got a ribbon cable that they're... And both Samsung and LG are basically saying, just put it on the wall and plaster over it.
Yeah, and in LG's case, actually, the purchase price of a TV, which is almost $14,000, includes...
Is that where they start? Or is that just where the high-end ones start?
No, that's the top end. That's where the high-end one starts.
Yeah, fair enough.
There'll be further wallpaper models in the future at bigger sizes, but the only one that's coming to Australia in the immediate future is the 65-inch one, and that's almost $14,000, and like it looks insane.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and... But it comes with installation and that price. So they'll send out people to professionally set it up for you and plaster a ribbon cable that goes down to the soundbar.
Yeah. And so that includes the soundbar
yes.
in there as well.
Yeah. And yeah. interestingly, it's a Dolby Atmos soundbar.
Hmm.
So it's also got upwards firing speakers.
So it's really, it's really making the case for that extra money over the sort of the entry point for the Samsungs as well.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I guess, you know, LG's top-end TVs are all OLED panels, which is, like we were talking about last week.
The quality of the picture coming from an OLED panel is just absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, it's pretty astonishing. And so this was a 65 at 14,000, was it?
Yes, for the very top-end model, where you're pretty much paying for the aesthetic of having a TV that's...
anorexic.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So,
in a good way.
I've failed to bring up the photo, but I will show you later. But yeah, no. Alex had a photo that he published on the net this week that does show the extremely slim profile of the
how thin is this tablet that I'm holding?
That's
in
about
my
a
hand?
Centimeter.
That's about a centimeter.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's probably like 7 or 8 millimeters. Yeah,
half of that.
Yeah, it's about half the size of a tablet.
It's amazing, and you can magnetically remove a panel. It is
pretty insane. Yeah. How about their smart TV features? Because LG is the home of WebOS. Have they been upgrading their WebOS and their smart TV capabilities?
A little bit. One of the new features on the Magic Remote is that, you know, those buttons...
Magic Remotes.
You know 0 to 9, those buttons that we used to change channels, but now are pretty much
mine
useless?
Mine goes to 11.
Well, la-di-da, Gary. But, you know, the buttons that used to be useful.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you can actually set those up as shortcuts to apps rather than to programs.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
you can hit 0 to launch Stan or... 2 to launch YouTube.
Yeah, cool. Nice.
And it also has Netflix and Amazon buttons on...
Actually,
on the remote.
Yeah, there's just a Netflix button that you can press to launch Netflix or Amazon Prime Video.
Fantastic. Okay. I wonder how much they paid for that.
I don't know.
Get their buttons onto my remotes.
A lot of TVs
would be
are coming...
There would be a quid pro quo there, absolutely.
In fact, my Sony TV has got a Netflix button.
Yeah, I've seen that happening over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Hisense's have Netflix buttons too.
Hmm.
So
I think Hisense were the first ones that did it, actually.
At least that's what their marketing told me.
Yeah. and so what have we not covered there? We've talked a little bit about the smart TV. It sounds like their smart TV system is just sort of same going
There's,
on.
I presume yeah. they're continuing with the Dolby sound and the Dolby picture quality.
Yes, they are.
From the last couple of years.
Yeah, so all the high-end TVs now are Dolby Atmos certified out of the box.
Right.
Mm. It won't be as good as a proper Dolby Atmos setup because you don't have rear firing, you don't have the rear speakers, but it tries to simulate it. And
some of the simulations...
Can you add them?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Some of the simulations are actually quite good. What they're doing... I know that even with just the soundbar on my TV, I hear sound coming from all over the place.
It's actually incredible.
And then I go and tell the neighbours to shut up.
if I digress a little bit on sound technology, my boss at work went off to South by Southwest and came back talking about these guys who've launched a device with a lot of little speakers in it, and the software in the device can actually compute the direction in which the sound is going to emanate from the device, so that you can have two people standing in front of it and one person will hear a commentary in German and one person will hear a commentary in English.
That's based incredible.
On their location. That is pretty amazing.
That is very interesting.
So they're intending for that to go into museums and stuff, but like, this could be the kind of technology that we're going to find going in, into things like soundbars in the future, because we're seeing multiple speakers, or you know, multiple woofers going and tweeters going into these things now, instead of it just being a couple of big speakers.
So dogs and birds?
Yes.
So what you're gonna be able to do is get that the old joke of, you know, sort of a guy walked into a bar. You can now say a German guy walked into a soundbar.
Wow,
oh dear.
Living up to the Facebook page description tonight, and it's not my fault.
So do you guys ever get a chance to try out for Samsung Dolby Atmos soundbar last year?
Not I.
No.
So it's essentially a 7.1.4 setup.
Hmm.
So the soundbar and the two rear speakers also have upwards-facing speakers.
So, okay.
So yeah. The idea is, I had a demo, and they bounced the sound off the roof, and they played this thing where a helicopter's kind of going overhead, and it actually sounds like it's spinning around the room.
That
it's
sounds
incredible.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So the soundbar that LG is bundling with this TV has two upwards-firing speakers for the front, so you can get some of that overhead simulation.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
but obviously, when you have two rear-facing speakers as well, you can get that full
surround. You can have the helicopter going all around your room, and you can certainly confuse the animals in the house.
Yes, yeah, you can actually.
So there's also Dolby Vision, which is Dolby's high dynamic range video technology.
Sure.
So what have they got in terms of HDR this week and this year?
Well, like, that's the Dolby Vision.
Yeah. So, well, is there an upgrade over last year, or is it the first year that they've got Dolby Vision certification?
Second year.
So is it an upgrade?
No, it's just, you know,
still certified.
Yeah, yeah. Still certified. Mm-hmm. But now it supports Dolby Vision. It supports HDR10. It supports the broadcast HDR standard, which, knowing Australia, we won't see broadcast HDR content for.
Ever.
I reckon there's the production of that content needs to happen before we end up broadcasting it.
But yes.
Yeah, and also YouTube HDR. So it supports four different HDR standards, which is great if you want to watch HDR content. And Gary, do you want to explain HDR content for our lovely listeners?
Well, it is high definition. And it is, well, basically, it requires a lot of bandwidth, and we don't have that, not on our broadcast spectrum, not on our internet spectrum. It allows you to view ultra-high-quality images on your TV. We are starting to see some Blu-ray players coming through with ultra-HDR, with the HDR. But,
and it's also a lot prettier because it supports more colours.
Yes.
But you just need a lot
more colours, a much higher contrast ratio. And the media will be more expensive if you can get it.
Yeah, LG did announce its first Dolby Vision Blu-ray player, and they haven't priced it yet.
Right.
And
I'm shocked.
But for reference, Samsung's first 4K Blu-ray player, which is only HDR10 rather than Dolby Vision is slightly more sophisticated high dynamic range technology because it allows frames to change their color on a frame-by-frame basis rather than on a per-movie basis. So you can actually get, the producers can get very granular detail in how they want a movie to look.
Yes.
So, and we don't, actually, Netflix and Amazon both have Dolby Vision content, so that's the only place to get it right now.
Right. Which is the internet.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Well done. Yes.
Yes. Okay, I believe you got some music that you want us to hear.
Yes, I've got a song called Wouldn't Do That by an Australian band, A View of the Woods.
Okay, I wouldn't do that, but you may.
Indeed.
Welcome back. to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet, all the w's.radio2rdj.com. We're going to talk about some couple of battery packs that I have here, because Jason, I know that you wander around. You're playing Ingress all the time.
I've got my phone plugged into a battery pack now.
Right.
Because I'm interested in these.
Because you really do hammer the battery in on your phone.
I do, yeah.
You really do. And so you have a battery pack. And the idea of a battery pack is that you charge it up at home, and then when you're out on the road, maybe you're on a plane trip somewhere with your phone, because you can't take your tablet or your laptop in the cabin with you. So... or you're out at work, it's been a busy day, you've spent three quarters of the day on the phone, and the battery in your phone goes dead. So you need a battery. You know, you need to give the battery a bit of a kick in the backside. What I've got here, I've got two devices from an organisation called Cygnet. That is C-Y-G-N-E-T-T. And they've let me have a play with two different power banks. They call them power banks. And one of them is a small one, 250 milliamp hour, is it? Yes, milliamp hour. And the other one is 10,000 milliamp hour. The 2,500 one, it is...
It's very small.
It is very small, round about the same size as a business card, little credit card, a little bit bigger.
Quite a bit thicker, but I think the intention is that you can put it in your wallet.
Exactly. Well, I don't know that you'd put it in your wallet, because being, if it's a lithium battery, the last thing you'd want to do is have it bend.
Go on, I'll do it.
Okay.
Here we go. He's handing it over to me, and I am placing the battery. No, he's not. What's right. going on? It's there we go.
Jason's putting his life on the line.
I'm putting my wallet on the line.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, do you see the moths come out, Alex?
Sorry?
Do you see all the moths come out of his wallet?
There's no money in my wallet tonight. I've got nothing.
Here you go.
I can't quite clip this thing. So it's got a micro USB cable built in to charge your devices. Does the 10,000 have that as well?
The 10,000 does not have it built in. It comes with one, and you can just use an ordinary charging cable with it. They take just an ordinary micro USB input. So you charge these up, and you carry them with you.
Look at Jason flashing his Qantas God card.
Still doesn't work. You still haven't got it in there?
No, my wallet has actually got a few coin issues. Yeah. But there we go. So that's
it does actually fit into there. Jason's wallet.
It does fit.
Your mileage may vary.
I have to figure out where to put my Qantas Gold card.
Right, okay.
Let's talk about the 10,000, yeah.
Yeah, that's the 2,500 milliamp one. It's good for one charge on your phone.
Yeah, pretty much.
But very handy. It takes up virtually no space in your man bag or in your purse or whatever.
I like
whatever.
That I don't need to carry a cable, although I would like to see a USB-C plug on that, because that's micro USB.
Yes.
How do I charge an iPhone?
You can get an adapter for an iPhone with these.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely not a problem at
all. Can you get
them
with iPhone lightning cables?
In actual fact, they were going to give me that, but they ran out.
Probably a good thing.
Which doesn't matter, because I don't have an iPhone, so that's all good. The 10,000 milliamp one, industrial design, I like it. It's nice matte black, nice sort of a rubberized finish, I guess you'd call it. Obviously a lot bigger than the other one. One of the things I like about it is the digital display on it.
Yeah, battery reader.
Tells
hold,
you
hold it up to
how
the
much how much battery is got left. So I'm looking at this one. It's got 80 in it, which means it's got 80% of the charge there.
That's actually quite clever.
Yeah. This will be good for about four charges of your phone.
And, of course, that one has USB-A ports on it, so you can plug in the cable that came with your phone most.
That's right. Exactly.
And we're going to have to wrap it up.
We are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This has been the Gadget Grill.
On Radio 2RDJ. 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. I was the professor. I still am. Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
Have you checked lately? I don't know who I am. I didn't know. I'm Jason Murray.
I did have a look at the back of my shirt.
Yeah.
And I've been and still am Alex Harsh.
Excellent.
Have a good evening. And we've now got Mouse on the Keys, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Rumkrankite.
There you go.